Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Club Junkie Podcast. Hopefully you're having a great week. I can't complain, man, around here, Metro Detroit. Weather's been unbelievable. It's like supposed to be high 70s today, almost 80. Super excited to have a good weather, hot weather for league. I'm just hoping it's not too windy today, but I'm not complaining, man. It's been a great week. Spent a lot of time outside playing with the daughter and all that. So it's been great, but hopefully you guys have had a great week. Before we get into it, letting you know this episode brought to you by Titleist and the Pro V1. And listen, we all have different ability levels and goals, but one thing we share is a desire to bring our very best every time we tee it up. And it all starts with choosing a golf ball you can trust. The Pro V1 is the best combination of speed, spin, and feel in the game. And the X gives you a higher flight and firmer feel. Both deliver long distance, consistent flight, soft feel, and all-important drop-and-stop greenside control. So whether you're Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, or Nelly Korda competing at the highest levels, or simply striving to be the best you can be, tee up a Pro V1 or Pro V1X and always bring your best. So go to Titleist.com, check out the Pro V1, Pro V1X. I've been playing a lot of the Pro V1 lately. I've been playing a little bit of the, I think it's like the 2019 model or something like that. I have a few extra sleeves that I found in a drawer, so I've been playing those recently. But yeah, go to Titleist.com, check out the new Pro V1, Pro V1X, and even AVX, depending on what you need. So anyway, another week here. Like I said, super excited to get some league play going. It's been a good 3 weeks so far. I've played decent the past 2 weeks. What is it? I think I went 44, 38, 39. So last week, I played actually pretty well, except for, you know, number eight, you know, my nemesis hole, man, got me again. It was, and it wasn't actually even anything that bad. I didn't talk about it last, oh, maybe I talked about it with Tursky, if you listen to DG too, but anyway, eight jumped out, got me again. It was, you know, hit a drive out to the right. Cause I was like, I'm not messing with OB. Didn't really have a look at the green to go for it in two, cause I had some trees that were in the way, and they were just close enough where I couldn't get a like a long iron or hybrid or whatever. I was probably like 225, 230 out, but I couldn't get a long iron or hybrid or anything like that over that those trees. So I said, all right, let's just play it low, punch a little four iron out there, and we'll get on in three, call it a day. Hit my punch-out shot, which wasn't too bad, but it was just wet out, so it didn't roll that far. I still had like 175, a little into the breeze. Hit a five iron, and just, I hit it right of the green, and there's this little kind of, like, depression. I wouldn't even call it a sand bunker. It's just the land. It's just lower than the green. And there's some funky lies over there, especially when it starts getting summer. It's almost like the grass is, like, wavy. Like, there'd be a little line of grass and a little line of dirt, little line of grass, little line of dirt, like, everywhere when that thing gets really hot and burned out. It wasn't that way, and then I just, because I was pin high, basically, in three, and I just, I chunked two chips. I chunked the first one, and I wasn't on the green. I was still in the rough, and I chunked the second one and just barely got it on the green, and then two-putted for my seven. So that was kind of a bummer. That took me four shots within 20 yards, 30 to 20 yards to get it in the hole. So that was a total bummer. But, you know, like I said, still shot 39, still played all right. It was a good night. So tonight, super excited. It's supposed to be super nice. It's supposed to be like 75, 77. Could almost hit 80, depending on what the weather does here. And I'm really excited to get there and play. So we'll see. I didn't even look who I'm playing this week. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I pretty much have a good time playing with whoever I play with. And then also, too, it seems like each week we're missing a couple guys anyway. So we kind of switch up foursomes, threesomes, whatever it is throughout the night anyway. But I was playing well. I took out the, and then I also went and played, I played on Friday as well last week. I went and played Dearborn Country Club with some guys from the office. And again, that was kind of up and down round. I mean, I didn't score well. I didn't make a putt to save my life. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you added up the feet of putts I made, it might have totaled like 40. I made no putts. I think the longest putt I made, I think I made a maybe 7-footer. For birdie on hole, what was it, seven or something like that? So that was about the only putt I made, and the rest of the round, it's I just didn't hit it off the tee well. If I hit it off the tee well, I usually scored pretty well. I usually made pars, but I just didn't hit it off the tee consistently. It's just still working on it. It's getting better, but I'm still just all, you know, just hitting it left, And on that course, it's short, but it's super tight. And if you do hit, you know, miss the fairway by a little bit, you probably have some tree trouble in terms of going right at the flag or right at the green. And that's pretty much what I had. So I shot an 88, and really I shot 42, 46. The front nine, I didn't play too badly. Like I said, I just didn't make any putts. And then in the back nine, the driver got away from me a little bit. And I was switching between. I brought Stealth with Ventus TR, and then I also brought, the Cobra LTD X with the Ventus TR, and then I had the Stealth with that UST, the M40X Blue. So I had that set up there, and I took both those out, and it was one of those things where I were hitting them, you know, side by side. When I hit them both well, they went really well. Both of them, though, I mean, I can snipe it left. And then I brought the Gen 5 stuff because I thought a few of the guys in the office would want to see it. So I played the Gen 5 irons, which like I said, I hit pretty well. I was actually hitting them really straight, just slightly right of target. So I was kind of aiming right, you know, predicting that I was going to hit a little left. And I was kind of missing everything right. So I missed a decent amount of greens, like just missed them by, you know, being pin high, just being on the right side. So I played those irons and I hit them pretty well. I think tonight, I'm gonna bring out the P770s back out and see how those go. I don't know. I you know, from league hitting P770s to, you know, there, I'm kind of leaning towards the P770 right now for whatever reason. And those right now, I've got the new KBS Tour light shafts in them, which I'll probably talk about next week. And it's just kind of tinkering around. I think this week, I'm trying to decide what I think the PXG driver goes in the bag. Maybe it might be the Rogue ST. I think actually goes in the bag. I think XF. I shafted it up. It's sitting. I got clubs like all over here. I've got that sitting over there. I was debating of going PXG XF with the Kailai White or the Kailai White, the Mitsubishi, or the Rogue ST Max LS with that UST Link Q Purple. I was kind of debating which one to go with there. So both of those are sitting there, debating which one to go. I think Fairway Wood is going to be the Cobra LTD X Max that I put a Graphite Design IZ7 in. And then I've set that thing to minus one. So it's 14.5 degrees with that shaft. And then the face looks a little bit open, just a hair open. And it looks really good. That Pico Blue just looks sweet. The color they did on that was so good. And then the hybrid will probably be the UW, the Callaway UW, the 19 degree that I've had before. I've been pulling that thing out and meaning to take it out and play it, and I just haven't played it. I just every time I'm about to put it in, I'm like, oh, well, I should take this out. So like last week, I took out the Tour Edge, the C722, the C722 hybrid, and that was which I got the four, which I think I talked about before. I think I hit it on the range. But I got the four hybrid there, opened it up 1 degree to let it play 20 degrees, and it's got a super deep face, so hitting off the tee is great, and that's pretty much what I did with it all day, and I really hit a lot of solid shots. I mean, if I was off target by a little bit, I mean, I was just in the rough or just, you know, right side of the green or I mean, right side of the fairway, left side of the fairway. I mean, I was really pretty consistent with it, and that's got like the made for Ventus Blue 80 gram Ventus Blue that's just made for that club, and I hit it really well. I got to have to say I was pretty impressed with how well I hit that thing, and I never like expect a whole ton out of that thing, but it's really good. I mean, it was long, it's pretty forgiving for its size. I mean, it's a pretty compact hybrid, and I hit it really well. I was really impressed. I mean, even on hole three, which is, it's this hole that goes out and then it kind of, you know, doglegs right at the very end. And really all you want to do is hit it like 220 up the left side of the fairway. And if you do that, you'll have like a wedge in. You'll have between 100 and 110 yards, depending on what you hit. If you hit it like 220, you'll probably have about 100 yards in. And there's a creek or a little creek that runs in front. So you can't just like go driver and try to bust. I mean, I guess you could try to bust it over the water, but there is literally no room. The green kind of goes off to the right, and then it's at kind of a funny angle, and the whole left side of the green is OB. I mean, it's literally a fence, and then there's like some marsh or whatever, and then a freeway. So if you miss it left, it's gone. I mean, unless you get lucky and it bounces off the fence and it's there, but 85% of the time, I think that ball's gone. So just like taking driver and trying to rip it over the creek, I mean, you could try to do it, but I think the risk reward just isn't there. When we play our scrambles, I have never tried to do it just because I don't really. And you got to kind of like carry it over the tee box for the next hole, so you're kind of like putting your other league guys in jeopardy there. But yeah, so that hole there, I mean, I didn't even hit a great shot. I think I just slapped it off the toe a little bit. And I was sitting there going, oh, man, I'm like, it stayed online really well. It actually stayed right down the left side of the fairway, which was great. But I was just like, oh, man, I'm going to be a mile away. And I really wasn't. I was only like, the pin was in the front, so it wasn't too bad. But it was, I was only like 106 away or something like that. So it really wasn't that bad. The ball carried a lot farther than I thought it would. I thought it would be further back. I thought for sure I was looking at like, you know, 115 into that hole, which again isn't bad. It's just the further back you go on it, the angle gets a little funky. Like I said, if you can get it the further down there, like that 220-ish mark, then you're going straight on into the green. And if you lay it back, you're coming into it kind of on an angle, you know, kind of a three-quarter angle. And it's shelved, so the back is way higher than the front. There's just a big slope. And the greenskeeper that day put the pin basically like on the slope. I mean, I don't know what we did to him that day, but he had some pretty brutal pin positions all day. But that one was pretty gnarly. I think I hit my putt, and I think I missed because I was in the front of the green. I took a little too much off the wedge, whatever. I was on the green. My first putt kind of went up around the hole to the right and then almost turned and came back down. And I think I had like 2 feet coming back up the hill. I mean, it kind of did like a horseshoe around the hole. It was just in a funky spot, but hit, you know, like I said, didn't hit a great shot there. Still ended up in a good position. And the height was still pretty decent. I mean, I know that made for Ventus, or not made for, the Ventus Blue and that stock shaft in there is going to be a little higher launching and a little softer than like a Ventus HB 8, you know, with the Velo core. That's going to launch a little flatter, but overall, that club really performed really well. So like I said, I hit that on, what did I hit it on? I hit it on, hit 3 one-on-one. I hit it on 2, 3. Did I hit on, no, I hit 4 iron on 4. So I hit maybe on 5. And then I hit it on, that was about it. So 5 and then 9, hit it on 9. So, but I hit it on a handful of holes off the tee. And honestly, really solid hybrid. I mean, if you're looking for something that compact, has a small, you know, footprint to it. You don't want a huge monster 3 or a hybrid. But you want something that's still going to give you a little forgiveness. You've got a deep enough face, you can rip it off the tee. That C722 is really good. So hit that. Had the 770s in the bag then, and hit them pretty good. I really did. So I probably was a little more consistent with the 770s than the Gen 5 tees that I got. But it was a good round there. So like I said, I hit some other stuff. I'm trying to think, what did I putt with? I think I had the Bettinardi out, and like I said, the Bettinardi, I made zero putts at Dearborn, but I made a couple putts at St. Clair Shores. Nothing crazy. I think I had one birdie on the card, and then that was, you know, I think I birdied two. I had a little putt up the hill that I made. Rest of it, you know, I made some par, you know, made a bunch of pars, made a couple bogeys, and then you know, that nasty double on 8, which every week it seems to get me. So, but. But yeah, so we'll get into today. Got a couple things to talk about. And the first one I'll get, holy crap, I'm going to stop because there's a huge spider on my wall. All right, I'm back. And to take care of a big old spider on the wall. I mean, we live in Michigan here. We don't get a whole lot of critters and everything. But every once in a while, man, I mean, my house is old. It was built in like 1948. And every once in a while, especially in the spring, you get to see one of these big old brown spiders roll out of the wall or out of somewhere, and boy, it was just slowly crawling across the wall, so had to take care of that. So he gone. I'm not a spider guy at all. I'm not a bug guy. I never was. I was never that kid who played with worms or anything like that. So I'm just not a bug guy, and I'm not one of those guys also who runs out there and like catches it in a bottle and puts it outside and lets it get away. No, it doesn't happen here. So we'll get into a couple things we have today. I've been hitting recently a little bit of Cobra's new irons that they just released. So if you guys are familiar, I know the Forge Tech is an iron that they came out with a few years ago. There have been a few different versions of it. And this year they brought out two versions for to make sure they can kind of fit any type of golfer. And the first one is the ForgeTech X, which is the slightly larger one. It's got a little wider sole, a little thicker top line, a little longer heel to toe. Still overall not a crazy large iron, but packed with tech. It's basically multi-piece, so it's got a hollow body on it, a hollow body, foam-filled, and then a high-speed face on it with their PowerShell technology, which basically means the face wraps under onto the sole, and that gives it a little more ball speed on low miss hits. But it is definitely something that is an iron that's brand new from them. And then, like I said, they actually also came out with two models. So then there's just the standard ForgeTech, which was a little... which is a little more compact, but yeah, two versions. And I got to hit these back at the Cobra launch back in, man, what was it? Was it February? Something like that? January, February? Something like that. I was out in Arizona. They had a big launch, and I got to hit them then. And then I think some production stuff pushed them back a little bit, and the launch got delayed. So these are kind of just hitting the market now, or they were announced a few weeks ago, but just kind of hitting the market now. And they're really good. I remember hitting them there, and I was really impressed. I've hit a lot of Cobra irons, and some of the ForgeTech stuff, I think the previous model, definitely had a bigger, chunkier feel to it, or bigger, chunkier look to it. And the feel wasn't quite as good. It was definitely firmer, had a little more click to it. And when I hit these on the range in Arizona, I was really impressed with how soft these were in comparison. And the feel was really good, but the ball speed and everything seemed to be really solid there. I only hit kind of a handful of shots with each iron, and then it was, moving on to other things with that launch. So this was something that, like I said, got a brief introduction to, and then was kind of excited to kind of see it launch, and then it kind of got pushed back, which is unfortunate, but that stuff happens, especially nowadays. But the ForgeTech X is the bigger one, and I was actually hitting it really well on the range in Arizona. So, like I said, they sent me these, and this one here has that Tour Light, that KBS Tour Light that I've been talking about before as well, which is a new shaft from KBS. And I basically was out there, like I said, hit some balls in Arizona with them, and then I hit some of these recently as well. And I haven't got them on the course, but I did bring them out there with the old full swing launch monitor. I had the Mevo Plus out, and the Mevo Plus decided didn't want to play with my phone well, so I couldn't use it. It connected, and everything looked like it was set up. And then I hit balls, and none of them ever registered. And yes, they have the dots and everything on them, and I measured out how far I was from my net and from the unit. Just didn't want to go. So anyway, the ForgeTech X, in terms of looks, looks really good. It's got, like I said, definitely a little thicker top line. Nothing crazy obnoxious, but it's definitely noticeable that you're going to have a thicker top line here. The sole is not crazy wide. I mean, for as forgiving and easy to hit and as fast as this thing is, it actually has, I'd say a pretty average sole to it. When you look down at the club, especially like this is a 7-iron, you don't see any of the backing. Even with the 5-iron, I didn't notice any. I have a 5-iron here as well. I didn't notice any really seeing the back muscle or anything like that. I know with some of these a little bit larger irons, you get into that where you can kind of see that back flange or back muscle. And a lot of people, that's not something they really enjoy. Not something they really like, so I totally get it. I think this set, in terms of the way they're built and the way they look from a dress, an easy combo set if you wanted to do something where, put a maybe 4, 5, 6 iron in the ForgeTech X and then go down and put, the ForgeTech in from, 7 through pitching wedge. The lofts are a little different. The ForgeTech X definitely is a little stronger. So if you did that, you would probably have to adjust a little bit in terms of lofts on these to get them to match up perfectly. But in terms of looks, they both have kind of that satin finish on them. The ForgeTech X here has a nice little milling on the face that you're not going to be able to see in this video, but I'm going to try to make it look that way anyway. Like I said, the overall look of it's pretty good. It's definitely a little bit on the larger side, but fairly minimal offset. I mean, it's got a little bit when you set it down, but it's nothing crazy. I would say, if you're used to playing in Apex, like CF19 or something like that, this isn't going to have or either CF21s. The Apex has a touch of offset to it. This is probably about the same. So overall, the look of it's really good. You're not going to look down and think you're playing just a monster shovel or anything like that. But the performance is really solid. It's super easy to get in the air. I had my phone here, which I had some of the numbers and stuff that I was hitting on that on the full swing launch monitor, and then when I went to go take care of the spider, I moved my phone somewhere. I don't know where I moved it. But anyway, I remember something. So anyway, the first thing I did, the first shot with this, which is this, like I said, unfortunately I didn't have like 7-iron to 7-iron. I got a 7-iron in the Forge Tech X, and then I got an 8-iron in the Forge Tech. So I couldn't, I mean, I was hitting them side by side, but they're not going to be, you know, exact numbers there. But I think the first shot I hit, and for me, a 7-iron is kind of like a 160 club, maybe 165 if I'm absolutely just on top of it. But I play it as a 160 club. And this one, I think the first shot I hit was 177. So now granted, the 7-iron here is 27 degrees. So it definitely is a little stronger. Even compared to the Forge Tech, it's about 2.5 degrees stronger. And I know people always say, oh, you know, it's so much stronger. But the thing is with it still is easy to launch. I mean, all my launch angles were all around. I think they're between 17 and 19 degrees on every shot I hit. The smash factor was always basically over 130. I mean, I was not, you know, absolutely flushing everything, but I think everything was 130 or better. I think I might even saw a 128 when I, you know, really missed it off the toe. But overall, I mean, the distance on it were kind of like, they were pretty high. I think it was 177, 171. And then I think the lowest shot I had was like a 162, where I did. I kind of came over the top across it, hit it off the toe. But even that, I think the launch angle on that was something around that like 16.5 degrees, I mean, which was one of my lowest shots. But because I got, you know, I tend to get steep, I come down on it, hit it off the toe. But it's still easy to get up in the air. And that's the big thing. I mean, with all the tungsten and all the tech in this thing, yes, the lofts are stronger, but you're still able to get this thing up in the air really easily. Spin was kind of that... kind of that mid 5,000 range, everything from like 50, you know, it was kind of that or mid to high 5,000. So you're kind of looking at that, you know, 55 to 5,900 range, depending on the shot. So definitely a lower spinning club. But like I said, it's easy to get in the air. So, I mean, a lot of that kind of stopping power with having crazy backspin, I think more people are going to find the higher trajectory, and this thing will probably stop it on the green easier than having just an absolute ton of spin. Feel on it is really solid, especially when you flush it. I mean, you absolutely feel the ball just come off the face hard. I was hitting my shag bag of balls to kind of hit in my net is I think the OG Kirkland signature. They might be the second gens, the second wave that came in, but I think they're the first. But they're all dotted up for like the Mevo Plus and all that, so they have metallic dots all over them. But when you hit it solid or anywhere really close to the center, you really feel the ball just compress and just jump off the face. They definitely feel hot, kind of like a hybrid in a sense. But they really do go. And that power shell, I mean, I did hit one kind of low on the face. Still came out with a good amount of ball speed. And like I said, distance loss in this was really pretty minimal. You know, like I said, spin-wise, you know, like I said, under 6,000 for me, you know, anywhere from 55, I think 5,600 was the lowest, up to like 5,900, right around there. And like I said, launch was, I think at the low end, was like a 16.5 and upwards of, you know, 17, 18. So, you know, a good range, and it was really consistent. I mean, that was the other thing too, is nothing really varied outside of that. I mean, even with, you know, I can pick out like two poor swings right out of the gate. The one was thin, one was off the toe, and really that nothing varied from that. Still peak height was really good. Like I said, I wish I would have kept my phone in front of me. I could have, you know, given you the exact numbers, but I'm not going to stop this thing again to go get numbers. It's not something that I usually dive heavy into. I know some people like it, but it's not usually something that I'm huge into. But overall, you know, like I said, the hitting of the Forge Tech X, I mean, super forgiving. Like I said, the variation in ball speed and distance and all that was, I mean, it was high by standards when you look at, you know, top to bottom. But, you know, for stuff that when you did miss it just a little off center, you know, a little bit off the toe, a little bit off the heel, a little low, you weren't seeing massive distance drops. And if you were playing for a certain yardage, you were probably not going to necessarily miss the green. I mean, unless you were playing like a really front tucked pin and, you know, it was at 177 and you missed it and you hit it 171. Okay, well, you might have a little problem there. But I don't think I would go into it thinking I was going to hit this thing 177 every time. But it is basically, for me, if I was going to play this, this is a full club longer than, you know, my Gen 5, PXG Gen 5 Ts, my 770s, probably the Cobra MIM Tours, all those. I mean, this is about a club longer. Like I said, I was hitting stuff. Here, if I had a 170 shot, I would probably pull this club instead of a 6-iron, which all those other sets I would pull 6-iron. But like I said, easy to get in the air. Dispersion was really good. I mean, when I looked at kind of the bird's eye view of all the shots on full swing, there was really only, you know, a couple left, and that's me. Let's be honest with it. That's me getting over the top, swinging down on it, and hitting it left. But, you know, even those weren't crazy offline. I mean, I would just be off the green left. The distance-wise with it was really consistent. And like I said, sound and feels really good. This one here, just a hair more click than the Forge Tech. Just a little more audible, but still really soft. And like I said, really had a hot feel to it. You really felt like the ball was flying off the face when you hit it anywhere remotely close to the center of the club face. So this would one here, I think, you know, for our audience here, there might be some guys who would go, you know, full Forge Tech X, you know, listening. I think a lot of people would maybe look and do a combo where you put like 4-5-iron in the Forge Tech X and then go to the Forge Tech, you know, for the rest of the set. But overall, the Forge Tech X, I mean, if you're looking for something that feels good, it sounds good, and it goes a long way. You know, you're looking to add some distance, add some distance to your bag. This thing here goes a long way. And like I said, it does play strong. I mean, the pitching wedge is 42 degrees. So you kind of have to look at the gapping in terms of your wedge set after that. But, you know, other than that, like I said, even that, I mean, being so strong, these things still get up in the air. I mean, peak height on everything I was hitting was pretty darn high. And they were, you know, higher launching than the Forge Tech in terms of peak height. So overall, the Forge Tech X, like I said, really impressed with it. Thought it played really well. I wish I had a whole set that I could go out and play around with. Really, I wish I had a whole set of Forge Techs, and then maybe, you know, like 4-5-iron in the Forge Tech X and go play with it. But I'm rocking with, you know, with 7-irons because that's what I've got. But the Forge Tech X, like I said, if you're looking for something that's definitely, you know, you're looking for a little more distance, you don't want to go to crazy, huge, wild offset, you know, oversized stuff. It's a pretty average, you know, in terms of where it fits in the category. I would put it as kind of a super game improvement club. I would say it's pretty average, if not on the maybe slightly smaller side. Doesn't have a ton of offset. The top line is, you know, a little thicker, but not anything crazy. You know, if it's something where you don't want to move to big old shovels, but you want the distance, you want that hot face, you want the forgiveness, this is a really good option. Like I said, it sounds and feels really good. It's definitely, you know, responsive. When you do miss it a little bit, you get a little more audible sounds. And it really is just a click. It's nothing crazy metallic, crazy hollow. It's just a slightly louder click when you get out there on the toe and the heel. But you know, center shots really, really go. And like I said, this thing's a club longer than basically everything I'm playing right now. So, which, again, is a little more player-esque, which I'm not necessarily, I guess, fitting in that category all the time in terms of my game, but this is really good. So the Forge Tech X, I was really impressed with. Like I said, especially that first shot, which was 177 with a 7-iron. Not something I've ever hit before. Maybe I have, but it was probably downwind and, you know, downwind, downhill. And then they've got the Forge Tech, which is the more compact version, a little smaller, a little less offset, a little shorter heel to toe, a little thinner top line. It's still a little bigger. When you set it down to, like, say, you know, my P770 or even the PXG Gen 5 Ts, definitely still a little on the larger side compared to those. But it definitely has, you know, probably just about the same, if not a little more ball speed. This one here, probably closer to everything I play. Again, I didn't have a 7-iron. This is an 8-iron. This one here is still, you know, multi-piece construction, still foam-filled. It's got the hot, you know, steel face on it, the PowerShell technology, which, again, which is the face wraps kind of underneath. It's not just a face insert that goes, you know, just on the top. The face actually wraps around underneath into the sole to give you a little more ball speed on those low shots on the face. But this one here, setting it down, definitely less offset. It's really just got very minimal amounts. The top line isn't razor thin, like the Tour MIM. That is definitely a thinner top line than this. This still has a little meat to it, which I think, though, I mean, some other stuff does too. I mean, in the same category, I think you still get a little heftier top line. This one's not bad. It's definitely thinner than the Forge Tech X, but it's definitely, you know, not something that's razor blade thin or blade thin. It definitely has a longer heel to toe, and the face is, you know, a little larger. I mean, it's definitely adequate in terms of hitting, you know, being able to miss the ball and hit it out there, you know, out in the toe, out in the heel, anything like that. You definitely still have some room to do that. But like I said, in terms of being slightly larger than, say, maybe some other, you know, items in this category, it still overall doesn't look, you know, it doesn't look, you know, big or chunky or anything like that. So, like I said, overall, just a really, really good package. When you address the ball, I think it looks really good. And then, you know, hitting this thing here, I mean, again, the first shot, I think this is, you know, 8-iron here, which for me, again, is kind of that 150, maybe 155 club if, you know, if I'm really hitting it, you know, getting saucy and loose on a hot day. And on this thing here, I mean, first shot 155, second shot 152, second one, you know, everything was kind of a little bit above 154s. Everything was kind of, you know, the max distance I usually play my 8-iron for. This was consistently getting it there, you know, pretty consistently. Like I said, I won a lot of 150, you know, 155, 154, 153s, which I know isn't crazy. I mean, compared to I'm hitting, you know, other irons 150. I mean, it's not huge, but I mean, a couple yards, especially for this type of iron, is still pretty big. And again, the consistency behind it. I mean, I think I had one shot that went kind of in the 140s that was really low on the face and just kind of got out there. It still held a lot of ball speed, but I think it was in like the high 140s. I think it was like a 146 or something like that, but it was pretty low in the face. I came out of the shot. This is a little more traditional, a little closer to it. Plays off a 44 degree pitching wedge. 8-iron is 34 degrees. The 7-iron will be 29.5. So like I said, about 2.5 degrees weaker than the ForgeTech X. So a little more traditional. I mean, I know stuff is still a little stronger and guys, you know, always kind of, I wouldn't say complain about it, but guys complain about it. Again, something that was pretty easy to launch. This thing here, all the launch angles on the shots I was hitting were basically between 22, 25 degrees. So definitely still getting the ball up in the air. Spin was in kind of that that mid 6,000 range. So I think everything was kind of that 65 to high 6,000s in terms of spin. And like, again, I can't remember the exact apex height because I don't have my phone here anymore, but it was definitely getting up in the air and having no problem doing so, even with some shots lower on the face. Ball speed again on this thing, we're still, it didn't drop off like crazy. I mean, when you hit it out on the toe, which is, you know, kind of my spot, you know, like I said, smash factor wise, a little lower than the ForgeTech X. Everything was kind of in the high two, you know, the high 1.27s, 1.28s. I think I might've had one ball, you know, like that first one that we won 155 that was closer to 130, or 1.3, but, everything was kind of those high twos. And then, you know, I think that one shot that I really missed it low, was kind of the low 1.2s, but smash factor really good. Ball speed was always really solid. I think I was swinging these all around like 88 miles an hour was probably about my average. I mean, I saw a few 89s, but most of it was between 87, 88. And like I said, a few 89s in there in terms of club head speeds. So nothing crazy. I don't swing it super hard. This one here has the money tape, the KBS money taper light, from KBS. So again, a little higher launching, but low spin. I think, you know, this is that iron that for some guys, I think going to a little higher spinning shaft may see a little bit of control, but this thing was actually really good too in terms of dispersion. I mean, I again hit a few off the toe, which is my miss, and really it's smothering it coming down steep and smothering the ball and hitting it left. So if you look at my bird's eye view again, really good shot dispersion other than like a couple shots that I hit left. And again, there's no iron out there that is going to stop that swing for me. The feel is definitely a little bit softer when you hit it in the center. Definitely extremely soft, really muted. I mean, almost no sound to it. It's just kind of a thud as the ball left. You did get a little more of that crack kind of sound out, you know, out more on the toe. The further you got out, you know, which is nice. I mean, you get a little responsiveness, so you know, you missed it. Low on the face, it didn't quite have the audible. You could definitely feel a little firmness, but it definitely didn't have as much of an audible sound to it as hitting it out on the toe. You know, but overall, the performance of it was really, really solid, and I was really impressed with how well it performed for being a little bit of a smaller package, but still good looking. I mean, it's one of those, like, for me, I don't play blades. I'm never going to play blades. I mean, maybe when my, you know, daughter grows up and I have more time to practice, whatever, okay, maybe one day I get into the blade discussion again, but that is, like, you know, years and years and years away. But I like having a little bit of, you know, a little bit of club head there to be able to hit the ball off of. You know, I don't need the most compact, crazy, you know, tiniest thing. And this one here, I think proportionally is really good. I mean, it's a good size, little bit larger than some other stuff, but it's not overly huge. And again, the offset on it is very, very minimal. So like I said, a guy who's been playing a lot of P770, this definitely, when you set it down, looks a little bigger, but nothing crazy. And, you know, like I said, performance-wise, seems to be really good. I might take this and toss, like, just this 7-iron in my bag and just see, you know, how it plays. It's just hard to – or, I'm sorry, this 8-iron. It's just hard to say sometimes because you just never know. Like, you know, when you get up to a tee box, it's just – or, you know, or a par 3 or whatever it is, just, you know, what club are you pulling? So I might toss this and maybe the 5-iron in the bag and at least have them and hit them a little bit on the course. They don't have an absolute ton of bounce, and the sole's a little narrower on these, so turf interaction will be pretty interesting for these. I'm not totally worried about it, but it'll be a little interesting. But the Forge Tech is really solid. If you're looking for something that's a little more player's iron, but you want, you know, like I said, a little more ball speed, a little more forgiveness, but you don't want to move to something big, oversized, whatever, you know, and you want to keep some of that good soft Forge feel, this thing does a really good job of it. And like I said, I mean, distance-wise, it's probably one half to a third club longer than what I'm playing right now. So, I mean, definitely some distance there. But, you know, again, a really solid choice there. I personally, big fan of this setup with the two different Forge Techs as opposed to last year, which is having kind of a single one that was just bigger. I mean, I think I hit that iron. I think it was a two-year-old iron. I think I hit it when it first came out. And I didn't like it. It was, like I said, didn't have as – it had definitely a clunkier, firmer feel to it. It was really big. Just overall, there wasn't a whole lot of I loved about it. And I think now going to this setup here, and then if, you know, you're a person who doesn't need the distance, whatever, you can go to the Tour MIM, and then you can easily go to, like, the Forge Blades. And then, you know, from here, you know, from the Forge Tech X, you can go up to the Air X or something like that. I mean, I think Cobra's really kind of positioned this iron with two of them much better than last year's, and trying to, you know, if you were that guy who, you know, say what, say played in, you know, in Apex or a, you know, P770 or something like that, a Srixon Z, you know, ZX5, that Forge Tech just wasn't going to, you weren't going to put in your bag, but it would, then the Tour MIM was just a little too demanding. So I think going here, you're definitely casting a wider net and getting more players involved with these irons here. So if you go to CobraGolf.com, check out both the Forge Techs. I think they're definitely worth trying. Like I said, if you're in one of those categories looking for a little more distance, still want some forgiveness, but you don't want to be looking at big old shovels, I think Forge Tech or Forge Tech X, either one of them is definitely worth looking at and giving a try. So definitely try them out. Check out the all the specs, all that at you know, CobraGolf.com. So that's the Forge Tech X. The next thing to get into is a couple golf bags, which are hard to do on a podcast in terms of when you do this thing on YouTube, because having a golf bag behind a desk is just not easy to do. But we've got brand new bags from Callaway. A buddy of mine, my buddy Austin, who works over there, hit me up and was like, "Hey man, you use a push cart, don't you?" And I was like, "Yes, I do. I'm an electric push cart guy." And he goes, "Hey, we got some brand new bags coming out that are specifically designed for push carts. Love for you to try one out." And I was like, "That's great." So we kind of talked, and he was like, "Let me send you both. I want to get you, you know," because he was like, "What kind of top do you use?" And I'm like, I pretty much use, you know, 4-way, 6-way, whatever the, not the 14s. I typically just don't use the 14s because I'm going to the range, or even when I'm going to the course and playing, I'm pretty much got, you know, an extra shaft, an extra club, whatever. I've got something extra in the bag, and the 14s, trying to jam a couple clubs into a 14-way top, I hate trying to do it. So, he was like, "No problem. Like, you know, let's try out both and then, you know, see which one you like." So I was like, "Great." So I picked out my colors that I liked the best. And the new Callaway, the Fairway Plus. I'll bust the Fairway Plus since it's the easiest. It's the first one I can grab, which is, and I'm like doing this for YouTube and talking. So the Fairway Plus, brand new. And the big thing is this brand new top. So they've got a brand new top on this thing, which is basically cart compatible. So it's a big plastic section up top. They've actually taken the legs and mounted them lower down in the bag. And this reinforced kind of plastic with rubber top fits on a push cart. You know, it's designed to sit on where the mounts or the pads are for the bag to rest on. These are designed to go right there. And he said they've tested it with tons of different carts. They, you know, basically went out and sourced a bunch of carts, tried them all on, you know, on them to make sure that they were fitting and would fit on pretty much any cart. And it's 100% right. They line up perfect. I use that Moto Caddy M7. So even though it would be an electric cart, the top end lines up perfectly with where this plastic section is. And it's kind of squared off. I mean, again, I'm showing this on YouTube, but it's kind of got a flat section. So when it sits on those pads, it's not rounded. It's not going to move around as easily. And then up around the top, again, there's really nothing on top of it to get in the way of the straps coming on top. So the pull handle, there's the grab handle on top that's molded plastic. And then there's actual canvas or nylon and rubber kind of strap as well to grab it by. But in between, there's a lot of space where you can, you know, run your straps for your push cart in. And it does. It actually fits perfectly. I mean, you wrap the straps in the M7 on this thing, they go right in that spot. So the fit is really easy. This one here, I will say the one thing, the little pad for the stand is a little smaller. So getting it on your cart, I won't say it'll move, but it'll slightly kind of like want to roll until you strap it down. When you get it strapped down, it stays in place. But until then, the slightly smaller pad with the stand on it does kind of, I will say, get in the way just a touch. The other cool thing, which I really like, which I've noticed a few bag companies have done recently, but the actual backpack straps, the double strap system, unclips with just some standard clips. Like, you just unclip it and take it off. Because, like, when I'm using my push cart, I don't need the straps to carry it. I'm putting it right on the cart, going right from my car to the course. And you can actually take the straps off and then easily, within a couple seconds, snap them back on, which I think is really cool. I like that feature because then they're just out of the way. You know, when you're on the cart or you're on your push cart and you're just going, these things just, you don't have to worry about straps falling down, getting muddy, or just in the way of your towels or whatever. Like, it's just gone. So, I know I've got a few tees in here, so you can probably have her moving around. And then also, too, he was fortunate enough to put my little Club Junkie logo on here, which came out pretty sweet. This is the gray and goldenrod colorway, which I think is probably one of the best. It's gray, black, and then this kind of unique yellowish gold. But a very cool color. I think it highlights parts of the bag, gives it a little pop of color, but it's also something that you don't have to worry about getting crazy dirty like an all-white bag. But, this thing here, you can also use it as a traditional stand bag, which is kind of nice. It's still got the pad for your back on the back, double straps that are easily adjustable. And they're actually really flexible and have kind of a nice foam in them. I've carried it basically, in and out of the car a little bit with the straps. And they're really nice. Pockets are decent. They got, the large pocket on the outside here, which on the outside, on the opposite of where you would carry it, which you can store your, which the rain cover comes in. You could put, I think I was able to fit a vest, jacket, and some arm sleeves, along with the head cover in there, or the club cover. So it'll hold a lot of stuff, and I might be out of breath because I'm holding this in like one hand. So it's got a big pocket there. The smaller kind of like waterproofish valuables pocket is super big. I was kind of shocked at how much stuff you could put in there. It's really large. Ball pockets, ball and tee pocket on the very back, super accessible, but really easy to store stuff in. Good size for everything. I was able to store everything I need. You got you got a little pocket for your Sharpie to mark your ball, and then on the side, where on the opposite side, on the left-hand side, I guess you're looking from the back of it. It's got a kind of a pocket that takes up about half the space, and it also has kind of a slightly insulated pocket for your water bottle as well. So a lot of stuff in terms of features. The top is basically a six-way. One, two, three. Actually, it's a five-way. Sorry, it's a five-way top, but it's also got mini kind of dividers in it, which again I don't think are going to show up on even this YouTube video, but they've got little rubber dividers, little triangles kind of in the middle row that will kind of divide everything up just to kind of help that rattling and reduce some of that bag chatter. And I didn't think much of it when I looked at it. I was like, okay, there's two little rubber triangles in there. Like, it's not going to do anything. It actually isn't bad. Like, it does. I mean, compared to, I've got a couple other bags that are standard, like four-way, six-way, whatever they are, but they're not, not 14s. And they definitely does have a little less back chatter. I was kind of surprised. I was driving and I noticed it last week. I was kind of driving something. I put I was putting a club back, and I think I hit some little bump or whatever, and it was like you heard a little click, you know, a little bit of rattle, and that was it. I mean, it was very, very minimal, much less than I was used to. And like I said, I didn't even think they would do much, and it kind of does. They separate, you know, like the clubs in each row a little bit, and they do take away some of that chatter. But I really like the top of it. It really does have kind of a robust feel. I know I've used some inexpensive bags in the past with some of the push carts. I had a three-wheel push cart before, and sometimes like you tighten down those straps to make sure that it doesn't move, and you'd be, I mean, literally you could watch the bag kind of crumple under the pressure. And these, there's none of that. I mean, like this whole top reinforcement, I mean, you can cinch down your straps, no problem. The bottom straps on, you know, you can put the straps on there, no problem there as well. And then, you know, everything else on this bag is really lightweight. I mean, if you were going to use it just as a carry bag, there's no problem with that either. I mean, I don't carry and walk with them, so I can't tell you, you know, 100%, but just lifting this up kind of with a thumb and a pinky finger, I don't know the exact weight from Callaway, but the Fairway Plus is really, it is pretty lightweight. This thing here, it's a little smaller than the other one, so there's the Fairway 14 is the other one here, which I'll grab in a second. It is a little bit more compact, so if you're looking for a bag that's a little smaller, the Fairway Plus is just a little bit smaller in terms of diameter and width compared to the 14. That 14-way top, I think, makes it just a little bit larger. And so the Fairway Plus on my remote, my M7 remote, I do have to adjust the strap a little bit to tighten it down. Where on the Fairway 14, I can basically just put it in the standard, kind of the standard, the most open setting, I guess. I mean, they're just like kind of elastic straps, but I basically have to move it like maybe a notch in a sense. Like I do have to adjust it just slightly for the Fairway Plus because it is a slightly smaller diameter. But once it's on the cart, I mean, driving it around for, you know, multiple 9-hole rounds, you know, I've definitely, it goes over some bumps and down some hills and up some hills and all that, and it just doesn't move. Like it stays right where it is. And that I've kind of been used to because I used a Moto Caddy bag with the Moto Caddy cart, and it's got two like metal pins in the bottom that keep it from rotating. And I was kind of like, well, this probably isn't going to work. I mean, it'll be better, but it won't work as well. It neither one of them ever moved. Like once they were locked down, they stayed exactly where they were until the end of the round. When I got back to the car, they were exactly where they were, you know, were there. It really is impressive to see how stable they are on the carts, and they just don't move. And like I said, I've used some other bags on my M7 and my old push cart, and they would rotate. Like you would, you know, start it one way, and you know, as you got through the round, the thing would be tilted a little bit or sliding around. It would never like fall off or anything like that, but it was just annoying that, you know, you probably set it a certain way to have certain pockets accessible and things like that. And, yeah, I mean, Callaway definitely put some homework into this thing because the top, is definitely pretty cool design, and it definitely stays, you know, stays where you put it. You know, when you set it on the cart with, you know, usually legs facing down, the legs don't get in the way. You don't have to worry about, you know, the legs kind of mounting the legs correctly in your, you know, in the pads on your setup on your cart. Everything just locks onto this basically, you know, cart compatible section here. I mean, it just really sets in there perfectly. And then you just, you know, the straps, they go around, nothing's in the way. You're not blocking any pockets. I mean, everything is just set basically a little further down to let those straps go around the bag and keep it in place. And really the plus here is, you know, my favorite out of the two. I really like I said, the top that I can throw tons of different stuff in. I don't have to worry about dividing up 14 different clubs and all that stuff. So that for me is, you know, works out the best in a sense. And then the Fairway 14, which I'm going to, of course, pick up and put on YouTube here because now this one I've left the straps on so you can kind of see the straps are there. Like I said, kind of a cool, unique little foam. They're very flexible. They're a little thinner, pretty lightweight, but they come off like super easy. So you don't have to worry about, you know, if you don't want them there, no problem. If you want to keep them in your car and snap them on when you need them, all good as well. And then this one here is the 14-way top. And then half, or not quite half, say about a third of the top is a little bit larger holes and basically built for oversized putter grips. So if you were playing a Super Stroke or, you know, a Two Thumb or a Garson, something like that, they should all fit in there pretty well. I think maybe like the Flatso 5.0 might give you like maybe a little bit of a problem, but they're pretty large, pretty large compartments. So I don't think you'll have too much problem there. This thing does actually work really well in terms of reducing bag chatter and all that. When it's on the cart, it probably reduces bag chatter a little better than the Plus. But this 14 weight top is pretty good. I mean, it's, like I said, it kind of keeps everything separated a little better. This one, like I said, is a little larger diameter. So it does, depending on your strap system, this one here, like right out of the gate with the no adjustments, fits really easily. But the they both work perfectly fine. You know, and this one here, same thing, stays in, you know, it pretty much locks in on your cart once you get it there, and it never moves. This one, again, they if you're watching on YouTube as well, kind of did a cool little Club Junkie logo for me on there, which is pretty cool. But this one here is the white and black bag. I always fall in love with white, and then, you know, like everybody else, they do get kind of dirty. But this one actually isn't too bad, so I took this one out first. The 14, I took it out, and it was like the first day of league and stuff like that, and it was just like a wet, muddy day, and I had like three towels draped over this thing. I've got a, you know, plastic brush to brush the grooves out, and I've got all these things hanging on here, which there's space for. I mean, they've got, you know, the nice thing is if you carry a lot of towels, like I usually carry at least two, but I'm usually carrying three, a ton of place to put towels. They have like a towel ring that you can slide a smaller towel through. The top grab handle up here, the molded plastic one, is a great way to put a bag or put a towel. And then, of course, the you know, the grab handle that's nylon and rubber there that you can slide a towel through as well. So, I mean, it's got like three spots you can put a bag. I mean, you could easily put one, two, three. I mean, you can put two on the top molded handle, no problem. That's a four towel bag, easy. But I put it out there, and it was just a muddy day. And I remember every shot, basically, other than, I mean, pretty much every shot that wasn't off, like a driver, you were wiping a club and everything was muddy. And it actually, like, I'm looking at it now, I kind of don't even see the mud. Like, I wiped a lot of it off when I was playing, because I was kind of like, oh, crap, like, I haven't even taken a photo of it yet. And now looking at it, there's maybe only, like, one spot that I can really tell that there was some mud on it. And that's right around kind of where the zipper was, which is a little harder to clean. But it actually has held up so far pretty well. And there's been a couple spots on here that had some big old clumps of mud. But like I said, the pocket system's really good. It's big. And for me, like, I'm just a pack rat guy. Like, I bring a rain jacket. I bring four gloves. I bring too many balls. I bring more stuff than I need to because I have that push cart, and it doesn't weigh me down personally. And both these bags have a ton of space to put all that stuff. You know, like I said, the large pocket on the right side, I had the club cover, a vest, either a quarter zip and a rain jacket or whatever. Like, I had like four things in there, and then, like, you know, a package of like thermal sleeves and all that. And I still could have probably shoved a couple little things in there. And like I said, the valuables pouch in there, which is nice and softly lined, is really deep. Like, I mean, if you put something in there, it's in there. It's not coming out, and you're going to have to reach a good ways away to get it. So you can load that thing up with a good amount of your valuables and things like that. But, you know, overall, like I said, really, really, really well built. I mean, super sturdy because the tops are, like, totally molded. They definitely feel sturdy, like they're going to last a long time. The legs, you know, pop out really quickly and really solidly. Like I said, being molded into this whole top section, I think they pop out really solidly, and when you set them down, I mean, it never feels like some cheaper bags, like they feel like they're going to kind of pull themselves apart when you set them down on like slipperier surfaces, like your hardwood floor or something like that. These, I mean, when you set them down, they just stay where they are. They're really solid when you set them down. Not that I've done that a lot, because like I said, I haven't walked with them other than from like, excuse me, like from the car to, you know, my cart or whatever. But they definitely are really solid. And like I said, I think that whole molded top is just a great piece in terms of adding some durability to the bag. But they're really nice. If you're a push cart person, I think they're, you know, push cart person, and you don't want to have some big, huge, crazy staff bag, you know, or if you're playing a big staff bag, I mean, hey, whatever. But if you're looking for something that, hey, you know, you're in a push cart a lot, or even once a week like me, and you want a bag that will work great there and still be lightweight, be able to carry stuff and all that, I mean, these two bags are really, really solid. And To be honest, I kind of was like, I'll try them, whatever, you know. And to be honest, I'm really impressed with them. I didn't think I would be as impressed with them as I am. The Fairway Plus, Fairway 14, brand new from Callaway. Like I said, built for push carts, whether it's electric, whether it's an actual push cart, you know, manual push cart. But either when they're built for them, and they do really lock on there really well, and they stay in place. So if you're somebody who's been struggling to find a perfect bag for a push cart, and you've been walking more and using your push cart more, I don't see how you don't check these out. They're really solid. So if you just go to CallawayGolf.com, go over to their bags and accessories, and then like I said, look for the Fairway Plus and the Fairway 14. Make a ton of colors in both. They have a ton, but they are really. Like I said, really solid options. You know, even if you're going to carry it, I mean, if you don't know a push cart, you're just going to carry. They work really well. And, you know, if you're a good push cart guy, they fit on great. They don't move. They don't rotate around. They don't slide around. They're locked in, you know, pretty rock solid, which is a pretty cool design. So, been a big fan of them. They've been fun. Like I said, that goldenrod one, I just really like that color. And then there was a cool little inside story about the color goldenrod and all that. So, it was because I said something about like, hey, like I was an Oakley guy, and Oakley used to have like a goldenrod color kind of like that. And he said there may have been an influence from that, so which is pretty cool. So yeah, Fairway 14, Fairway Plus, really cool stand bags that are built for push carts. And you're probably going to see, if you see me out at St. Clair Shores and you see a guy with a goldenrod accented bag on a electric cart driving down the fairway by itself, it's probably me. So, but those bags are pretty cool. Thank you to those boys for sending them over for me to try out. I've been really impressed with them. So, that, and I'll give the one thing too. I got another Nick brand new bag, which isn't, you know, I won't say it's not as nice, but it's not, doesn't have some of the features this have. And I put it on my cart, and the one thing that just stunk on it was the umbrella holder on that other bag, the other brand, like was just like it wasn't as secure. This thing here, I mean, it has the little strap next to the pocket where so you slide through like an elastic loop, and then through a nylon sleeve that's part of the pocket, and then into the little stopper on the bottom, and it stays in place great. This other bag was so annoying. My umbrella kept like getting pushed out and all that stuff, and it was really pissing me off. This thing, it actually stays in place and stays out of the way, and it's great. So I'll give it credit there too, that the umbrella holder on it is definitely far better than another bag that I just have over here as well. But like I said, Fairway 14, Fairway Plus, check them out. From Callaway, if you're in the pushcart mafia, it's definitely worth looking into. So that's all I've got. I know I forgot to do my Q&A yesterday. I meant to, but I went into the office because I was busy and had to take care of a few things. So I didn't do it. I'm going to try to do it today. So if you follow me at Club Junkie Pod on Instagram, that's the best way to get a hold of me too. If you have any questions, anything like that, hit me up. It's always fun talking to you guys. And that's all I've got. Have a great weekend. I don't think I'm going to play this weekend, unfortunately. I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to be hanging out with the little one as mom takes a much needed weekend away. So I'll be... doing the dad thing. So anyway, hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy it, and we'll talk next week.